Welcome to Culture Shots. My name is Evans Shiroro, and today I'm talking to the Kenyan ambassador to Ireland, Ambassador Catherine Muigai Nwange. We are going to talk about her views about the Irish society. Before I talk to the ambassador, we are going to listen to an African rumba music from a renowned group called Lokasa Yambongo. That was a beautiful track from Lokasa Yambongo. Next up is my interview with Ambassador.
Today I'm speaking to Your Excellency, the Kenyan Ambassador to Ireland, who is also the Dean of African Ambassador in Ireland, Ambassador Catherine Muigai Nwange. Ambassador Nwange, can you please give a brief introduction to our listeners about yourself and the work that you are undertaking here in Ireland?
Okay, as you rightly say, I am Kenya's ambassador to Ireland. I've been in Ireland now, this is my fifth year. When I came at the end of 2007, Kenya did not have an embassy here, so I opened the embassy and have been here since then. Obviously, as an ambassador for my country, it is my duty, among other things, to look for ways in which we can foster, develop, and grow relationships between my country, Kenya, and this great country of Ireland, in all spheres, including political, economic, social, and all other areas. So that is really basically the role of an ambassador.
Okay. I know you've put trade at the heart of your work. Can you explain to our listeners what kind of trade do you want to see between Ireland and African nations, particularly Kenya, that you represent?
Okay, I mean, basically what we're saying is that, you know, Africa is a big continent and there's a lot of opportunities to do business. You know, if whichever sector you look at, whether it's infrastructure development, every country you can think of, including my own country, Kenya, there's a lot of development, you know, in building roads and building ports and just building infrastructure that will foster development and growth. So there's that area. There's also all the commodities that are produced in Kenya or even in Africa. In Kenya, of course, we are famous for coffee and tea. Other countries, you know, for instance, Ghana, of course, and their cocoa. There are all those commodities that are produced in Africa. So we are saying, is there an opportunity to export some of those products to Ireland? There's also, of course, Ireland and its reputation for technology, ICT. What opportunities is there for Irish companies to invest in Africa or to look for partnerships? The area of food technology, that whole area of agribusiness. Ireland has developed extensively in that area. They're extremely successful. The exports in the agribusiness has grown, and in fact, it's what is growing the economy right now. And you know, as you know, in Africa, agriculture is the backbone of our industry. So what cooperation, how can we cooperate in agribusiness? So if you look at our continent, Africa is a huge continent with a lot of opportunities differing from country to country. And that's what we are saying to Ireland. You know, look to Africa. There's so much opportunity for growth there. There's so much opportunity for expansion. So the opportunities are great. And so therefore, even as I push Africa, each country is also looking what is their advantage. But obviously, we look at Africa as a continent. That is our continent. We represent, as the ambassadors here, we represent the entire continent.
It's interesting you mentioned agribusiness. I wanted to ask you, if you could explain to our listeners, what is Africa Agribusiness Food Development Fund, which I understand you are part of the launch. And also, if you could explain how many African countries that are participating in that scheme.
Okay, the Agribusiness Development Fund is a wonderful initiative that was put together by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade in conjunction with the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Marine. And they saw the opportunity for a partnership in agribusiness between Ireland and African countries, and on various levels. As I say, it's a partnership. So it was going to look at what can Ireland contribute to Africa in terms of developing agribusiness using the skills they have learned, using their experience. How can they partner with the African countries to grow agribusiness in recognition of the importance that agriculture plays in Africa? So the development fund, therefore, is going to be used to explore and look at which areas Ireland can contribute in, what sort of companies or what sort of initiatives they will involve themselves in, and what is the most beneficial arrangement or relationship that can be developed between Ireland and the various African countries. So the fund is really going to be establishing which will be the most beneficial area of cooperation. Obviously, as Africa, we've said, is a large continent, so Ireland decided they would start with a pilot, and the two countries which they are piloting is Kenya and Tanzania. So they'll start with that first, and once they've established the working perimeters and everything else that they need to, then there'll be opportunity, I'm sure, for expansion to other countries.
What would you say to those who say pairing or it's not possible to link trade to aid in Africa?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by linking aid to trade. I think what basically we are saying is that the history of Ireland and Africa relations are long, as you know, and very, very special, because the Irish have been overly generous and giving to Africa. Way back since the missionaries started coming to Africa, they've been contributing, especially in the humanitarian area of developing educational institutions, developing hospitals, and when there's crisis or, you know, all the catastrophes that they've had, you've seen Irish people are always in the forefront to come and assist. And then, of course, there's all the non-governmental agencies and development agencies that have been working in Africa in the area of development assistance or aid assistance.
Yeah.
And that we acknowledge with gratitude. But what we're also saying is there's another angle to Africa, that of business, that of being doing trade. And I think we all agree that a relationship that is based on just giving and giving and giving cannot be sustainable, because Ireland will never be able to sustain that as a relationship. We recognize that our problems are not over as Africa. We will have challenges. There will be issues that will arise, and those issues are still there. Well, we will turn to our development partners and say, we need assistance in this area, humanitarian. However, we cannot ignore the reality of Africa is also a trading partner. There's an opportunity to do business. The rest of Europe, the rest of the world is doing business with Africa. So we're saying to Ireland, this is an opportunity for you to also do business in Africa, so that it's not just a giving situation, but this is a cooperation. It is a partnership, and it will be of benefit both to Ireland and to Africa, because when we trade, then we will better establish our own institutions. We'll be able to better fund our own institutions, so we can take care of those problems that they are taking care of now. We will be able to generate revenues. We will be able to develop. We'll be able to then, therefore, fund education, fund health, fund all these challenges that we're dealing with. So I think we need to be very careful about this thing about aid and, I don't know, trade. The fact is, Africa is a continent that can do business, and that's what we're saying. Yes, the issue of support in certain areas still exists, and it will exist for a while until we are able to deal with these sort of situations. But I will say it again, we cannot then therefore be stuck in just receiving aid. We must promote trade.
And I still on that issue of aid,
speaking as a migrant myself, living in diaspora, and I've spoken to a lot of African migrants as well, they feel the image that is always portrayed on television and in newspapers everywhere, in media, is just of Africans who are starving. Do you think there is a way to counter that image that is being portrayed everywhere, especially in the Western world?
Well, I think that that's what we're trying to do now. When we have the opportunity now to be talking about the business opportunities that exist, we're showing people another side of Africa. Because really, in all honesty, one cannot be going to do trade with those children that you're saying are being portrayed in the media. There must be another side of Africa. There must be other people, you know, that exist, and those are the people. So we're hoping that by actively promoting the trade opportunities, by actively promoting tourism, by actively promoting all these other elements that make up Africa, because Africa is not just about poverty. That's a small part of Africa. There's a lot more that is Africa. By us actively and aggressively promoting these other aspects and using every opportunity to talk about it, to demonstrate it, to prove it, then we hopefully can overcome these negative images.
Thank you. I saw on your website you have introduced what you call a draft diaspora for Kenya. Can you explain what it is, and do you think it is bringing the desired results?
Okay, in terms of diaspora, I think that my country sees diaspora as a critical element of Kenya. I mean, the government is very committed to ensuring that diaspora is mainstreamed into the main fabric of the country. And that means engaging with diaspora as much as possible at very many different levels, so that they feel part and parcel of our nation. They can participate in important aspects of the country, including, for the first time, we're going to be having a facility to vote for diaspora to vote, you know, outside of the country. The new constitution has now also allows for Kenyans to have dual citizenship. So those who have citizenships of countries outside of Kenya can now have their Kenyan citizenship back. And there's a lot of other opportunities for Kenyans to be able to invest in Kenya, and also for Kenyans in diaspora to be able to engage with government and other institutions. So it is a critical, the government has taken a critical, decisive, and very important step in ensuring that diaspora is mainstreamed into the running of our country. And I think, and even us as embassies, we're doing all we can, but diaspora also has a responsibility. They also have to participate. You know, if we can put all those elements there, but if people don't respond, then it doesn't help. But I think the government has taken major strides to try and mainstream diaspora.
Thank you very much. What are your views, particularly in the context of the present economic financial situation, focusing on the migrant? Because there are studies which are showing that most of the migrants are the ones who are sort of getting the harsh brunt of the economic crisis, because they're the first one to lose their jobs whenever a company is folding. Have you ever encountered that from the people that you represent from Kenya who live here in Ireland?
I think that you know, some of these things are realities, and I think we also need to approach them in that way, because there's an economic, there's economic uncertainty, and obviously things have been difficult for this country. But I think that it is true to say that there's evidence that is going to change. It would not be easy, it will not take a short time, but obviously, you know, it's going to change for the better, and Ireland will be back on a growth path. Now, In terms of the migrant community and whether they're the ones who are suffering the brunt, I think that's a complicated and sort of it's a complex issue, because obviously there's issues of when people are laying people off. I don't know what consideration there is. I don't have proof, so it's very difficult for me to say that it is true, that is what is happening. But obviously it could be a possibility, and it will be unfortunate. But I think in the whole, everybody is suffering. There's a lot of Irish people who are also being laid off, and obviously there's migrants who are being laid off. So it's a difficult time for everybody, and obviously for the migrants, they must feel it every so often that they're the ones who are being maybe
scapegoats.
Scapegoats. Yeah, scapegoats, or they're the ones who are suffering the brunt of it, obviously, because they feel maybe they don't have proper representation. All those issues will be there. But it is, and as I said, it is complex, and there will also be the Irish people who are. So during difficult times, I think it is to be expected that things there'll be elements of situations that look like they are not fair. There'll be suffering for everybody across the board, but that is normal, that is natural. In difficult times, obviously, that is to be expected. And it is sad, because I think this country has been very good, even to the migrant communities. I know a lot of people who moved here from other countries because Ireland was generous, the quality of life here was very good, and people enjoyed very good times in Ireland. And I think even that's the big disappointment, because, you know, when you've had things were good, things were so comfortable, this was a very comfortable, very happy place to live in. When things become bad, it's even more noticeable. You know, people, the disappointment is even more, you know, so it's a difficult time, and but as I say, I think with all the measures that the government is putting in place, and the resilience and the hard work of the Irish, we'll see this country through, and I think you can start seeing exports and growing, and in a lot of these sectors, there's great improvement, and I know things will be, but it is, and it's unfortunate, and I know that the people will suffer, both migrants and the Irish, but unfortunately, in difficult times, people suffer.
Yeah. Are there any things that you think culturally they are similar between Ireland and Kenya or Africa in general?
I think that as I always say, the most noticeable thing is the friendliness of the people of Ireland. I think the Irish are very friendly people. They're very hospitable. They're very accommodating of other cultures and very accommodating of other people. I think there's a strong connection to the land. I think because they have the background in farming and agriculture, so they have that strong connection to the land and an appreciation to the land and appreciation for the family. And you know, and they're a very happy and celebratory people. They like to celebrate. They like to be happy. These are some of the things that I see that are very common, you know, with Africans, because I think Africans are also very welcoming and very generous with their welcome. Joy having visitors, you know, you, as you know, I'm sure wherever you come from, like I see in Kenya, you know, people, it doesn't matter how poor somebody is, if your partner will always invite you to their house and always insist that you have something to drink and eat. Maybe they haven't eaten as a family for a long time, but you as a visitor, they will give you something. So these are some of the things that are common, you know, between that element about the land, about agriculture, that whole area, I find it, you know, there's a lot of
similarities are the same. Yeah. And lastly, what can you say to the business community in Ireland who might want to invest in Africa, and for the African diaspora as well who are living in here in context of business and trade links, which you've eloquently talked about?
I think really the first thing, you know, is different countries in Africa have different needs, if you see what I mean. There will be countries that are looking, let's say, to develop, for instance, their agribusiness. There will be countries who are looking for, if you look at Nigeria, the big thing for them is I think their they are mining, you know, that whole area. So different countries have different needs and different strengths and these different opportunities. So one needs to be clear which sector do they want to go into. And then from that, I think it's quite easy to find out in which country is there opportunity in that area. And then do a little homework and see, you know, and for those of us who have embassies here, of course, one can find the information. What do I need to do? How do I then, therefore, if I decide today I'm to go and do business in Rwanda, what is it I need to do? How do I register a company? What are the tax regimes? I think it's important that one identifies, first of all, which country they want to go to, or identify the sector you want to get into, therefore which country is strongest for that, then what does it mean for one to then get into that country? I think people need to take the initiative and start action. You know, the fact, it is a fact. It's not me saying it, it's not anybody saying it, it is a fact. There's a lot of opportunities in Africa. But individuals, whether it's companies, Irish companies, whether it's the diaspora, whether it, one needs to now take the initiative and move forward and say, I want to go to Rwanda and to get into this. What is it I need to do? And the one thing that African countries have done, especially in the recent past, is because they are also interested in attracting investors, in attracting trading partners, they want to do business. So they have now streamlined and established clear working procedures. So it is very clear, any of these countries, they would all have agencies that are looking after the investment portfolio. And they are very clear about, this is what you need to do if you want to come and do business in our country. So it's not such a gray area anymore. There are no hidden issues. It's all very clear now. And it's actually relatively simple than it was several years ago to actually go out and do business.
Thank you very much, Ambassador, for giving us your time.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. And thank you to our guest, the Kenyan Ambassador to Ireland, Catherine Muigai Mwangi. This has been Evan Shiruguru for Culture Shots. Tune in every week, Mondays from 6:30 to 7 p.m. right here on Near FM. To listen back to the past episodes, simply log on to www.nearpodcast.org/culture-shots. For news and information on how to get involved, check out www.nearintercultural.ie.
The content and views expressed in this program are those of the participants alone and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of POBL, the Office for the Promotion of Migrant Integration, or the European Commission.
This project is co-financed by the European Commission under the European Integration Fund and is supported by the Office for the Promotion of Migrant Integration in the Department of Justice and Equality and POBL.